you are joining us for the first time, or maybe haven't been in a while, but if you've been since August, you've heard me say this numerous times. This season that we're walking through at Parkway Hills, thinking about the wisdom we find in Scripture. And as we have walked through this emphasis, Easter, Resurrection Day, is where we have been headed. The heart of the good news, the story that gives understanding to all the other stories, the hope of the Christian faith. I know I've said before that, I mean, David and I do try to talk about worship and at least think through songs that might be appropriate, but I had no idea, well, until I saw the bulletin, that you were going to sing Redeemed, and it's just very fitting for this Sunday. I love it when those little Holy Spirit pieces come together. But it is where we have been leading and heading as we think about wisdom of Scripture. So what is the wisdom of resurrection? If you've noticed, we've been naming pieces of that since Easter Day. The front of your bulletin has even changed a little bit each Sunday, if you've noticed, in a small way. Resurrection is hope. Life at the very place of death, a way where there is no way. Or my favorite from Frederick Buechner, resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. As Pastor Haven told us last Sunday, resurrection is peace, the peace of Christ breathed into our world, the peace of Christ breathed upon us. Resurrection invites us to go forth carrying the words of Jesus, peace be with you. This week, a story from the book of Acts that offers us another truth of resurrection. The book of Acts follows the stories of Jesus found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a story of the followers of Jesus stepping out into the world to continue the mission and ministry of Jesus in light of the resurrection. Acts begins with a brief summary of the Gospel of Luke. We hear about the events following Jesus' resurrection, his appearance, his ascension. Chapter 2 gives us the story of Pentecost, the birthday of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Peter addresses the crowd. We hear their responses. There's a description of how life looked among these early believers. And then we move into stories of what it means to be resurrection people, Easter people, the body of Christ. Chapter 3 begins with a healing. And instead of that healing being a cause of rejoicing, it creates contention, which really shouldn't surprise us. The healing stories of Jesus also came with a little bit of heated disagreement. As chapter 3 begins, Peter and John are going to the temple. They see a man being carried to the temple gate so that he may ask for assistance. Peter sees him. Says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. The man jumps up, walks, and joins them into the temple to praise God. And this is where we pick up the story. Peter, noticing all the people looking at this restored man. I'll be reading from Acts 3, 12 through 21. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you are saying. Amen. So Acts 3, 12 through 21. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And this way God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, to me, the flow of this story is a little bit intriguing. There's all these little moving pieces, and some of them could be easily missed, which is true of most times we read Scripture. But you've got Peter and John at the beginning of chapter 3 headed to worship. They could have easily walked past this man, not even seen him, or maybe notice him, but not see him. But they do see him. They see him as one whom Jesus loves. And in the name of Jesus, Peter offers a healing touch and a healing word. A healing that will restore this man's place in society, in the world. A healing touch that will give this man life. This man doesn't jump up, hug their necks, and then walk off. He doesn't ask how or inquire what Peter and John want from him now. Why would they do this? No, he just enters the temple, we're told, walking and leaping and praising God. This man once carried and left outside the place of worship, left on his own to fend for himself. He is now restored to the worshiping community. He is inside the walls. That image alone gives us plenty to talk about and discuss. But we're going to move on because what happens is the people notice. Wait a second. Isn't that the man that always sat outside? He's in here and he's leaping around and causing quite a commotion. And then there's a shift. The man fades into the background as Peter addresses the crowd, admonishing them for their stares. Why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare? This was not by our power, but this healing, this restoration, it is the work of God. And then we can almost hear Peter say, "Let me tell you a story." He recounts the story of Jesus, ending by offering the invitation to repentance so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This shift, this movement from healing to worship to recounting the story of Jesus to this call to repentance, this movement is what stuck out to me. This connection between healing and repentance, between the work of restoration and repentance, this space given in this story for those listening to stop and reflect on some things. The invitation to turn away from some things, to be a different people, so that healing work can be accomplished and celebrated, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I know that repentance is one of those weighty, overused, sometimes misunderstood words in the Christian tradition. It has been used as a weapon far too many times to point out individual faults, or unfortunate choices, to name them as dirty, to make us feel guilty. And in the process, naming those of us with those faults, or those of us who have made unfortunate choices, making us feel dirty as well. It's been used to terrify us into something other. Just picture the man on the corner with his sign, "Repent, for the end is near." Or, as some of you called to my attention this week, the recent spreading via social media that the end is near because of the way the eclipse lined up. You know you saw it. And don't misunderstand. We have free will. We do get to make choices. We named that early on in this Wisdom of Scripture series when we looked at Genesis. And sometimes we make terrible choices, and our choices have consequences. But what I see in this story is Peter talking to a people, a collective people, and saying there are ways in this world that we collectively act, systems that we participate in that do not lead to the healing and renewing of God's children, but the opposite. These actions, these systems, they create more brokenness and death. One pastor put it this way. He was trying to hold up Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus' death on the cross, death at the hands of a political institution, alongside this new life God was able to bring forth. And he asked us to reflect on what patterns of death do we see around us? What patterns of death do we participate in? Can we repent of those? Name those. And in the name of Jesus, the one who offers new life, can we believe in a better way? Can we be a part of the work of restoration? The work of moving from death to life? Can we be agents of healing and restoration so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord? And not be participatory agents in patterns of death. Our psalm for today, Psalm 4, it speaks to this work of restoration. Oh, that we might see some good, the psalmist says. The psalmist asks God to hear, to listen, and is unafraid to say how things are. And then the psalmist makes a pivotal move towards stillness, trust, gladness, blessing. You've heard me name numerous times that the psalms, in a very real and human way, they name the brokenness. They don't hide it or make it pretty, but they also name God as a real presence in the midst of the brokenness. You gave me room when I was in distress, says Psalm 4. The Psalms offer a story of a God of hope saying something more is possible. One commentary called Psalm 4 a psalm of trust in times of anxiety, calling attention to that verse, that because of who God is, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. But Psalm 4 also addresses repentance. When you are disturbed, it says, do not sin. Ponder and be silent. Pray instead of react. Wait for a word before offering a word. Listen before speaking. Take a breath. Pray some more. Offer healing and restoration, not patterns of death, so that times of refreshing may come. In a world of instant news and instant commentary, quick, safe behind a screen, shaming, knee-jerk rebuttals, immediate likes or dislike with a simple touch, at a time when it is all too easy to strike back at someone, when our leaders model with their very words hate and violence, Psalm 4 gives us different instructions and offers us a better way because of who we believe God to be. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder. Be silent. Trust. In the name of Jesus, we are to offer the world a better way by the way we choose to be in the world. As Pastor Haven said last week, we are a sent people. A sent people who are called to offer a healing touch. As we go forth, we carry the words of Jesus. Peace be with you. Peace be with you because you will need it. We go forth to share in the peace that is for all. We share in the healing and restoration that is for all, so that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. What wisdom of resurrection do we carry? As resurrection people, we are a people who carry a story of hope. We are invited to share hope. We receive peace, and we are invited to go forth with the words, "Peace be with you," to speak peace, to create peace, to be peace. We witness the restorative work of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and we are invited to join God in God's work of universal restoration, healing that which has been broken. One of my recent devotions, well, it gave a great image of holding all this and the choices that we have to participate in patterns of death or to offer healing and restoration. And it did so by talking about these two bowls of water that are present in the story of the Passion of Christ. One bowl of water is Pilate's, a bowl of water he uses to wash his hands of others, pointing an accusing finger at Jesus while scrubbing himself clean of all responsibility. The other bowl is the one with which Jesus washes feet, bathes others, serving, soaking, and drenching them in lavish love. The two bowls are always before us in life. The restorative work of resurrection is an invitation to serve. We serve others in the name of Christ. We share what we have, but more importantly, we share who we are, especially with people who are rejected, alienated, in need of healing. We are part of the healing, restorative work of Easter morning, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. May it be so.